Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, God's warning not to drift into Catholic error. A number of the members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. That's one reason why we've expanded the comments that we make on the communion service. I was asked to do that actually by several people who have come from Catholic backgrounds. They were sharing with me that, Pastor, we need all the help we can get because our extended family members put enormous pressure on us. And so that's why we've gone into that. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. In fact, the Catholic Church borrowed heavily from the Old Testament priesthood in the format and a lot of the thought and thinking processes there, because they relied also heavily on the books of Maccabees for a lot of their theology. And, of course, the Maccabees were Jewish. Well, we view Hebrews chapter 2, 1 to 4, and God's warning not to drift into Catholic error for our insight and our edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. All right, the Roman Catholic Church did not exist when the Epistle of Hebrews was written in the early church, so the epistle's instruction applies directly to the trial that early Hebrew Christians faced from unbelieving Hebrews to give up their Christian profession and to return to their ancestral faith. However, as Lorraine Botner in his classic book Roman Catholicism, page 44, noted, much of the Old Testament Hebrew religion that unsaved Hebrews tried to push on early church Christian Hebrews has remarkably similar application to believers today who have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds. Accordingly, the author of Hebrews 2, 1-4 provided a warning against drifting back into false Judaistic error, and by way of application, it has application for believers with regard to the Roman Catholic Church today. Now, I'll point this out as we go through it. In our previous lesson on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the Roman Catholic Church teaches doctrines that greatly counter the teachings of this passage. For example, Catholicism calls Jesus' earthly mother Mary, Mother of God. But Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2 teaches that Christ created the world, what would include Mary herself. Now, I don't believe that they believe that Mary is deity. They're not quite that far. They're trying to push the idea that she's a co-redemptress. In other words, she's along with Christ's redemption. There's some redemption. They're trying to bring that in and make that a solid belief. The Pope probably would in favor of it, but a lot of Catholics would have a problem with it. But it would really distance them from conservative Protestantism, because we don't believe that Mary is divine at all. But there is an effort to make it a holy quartet instead of a holy trinity, with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Mary. Catholicism teaches that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Mary so that all obey, even God. Now, this is citing a book by Bishop Alphonse de Liguori, who was actually canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church, The Glories of Mary. And the introduction to that book actually claims that this is, though the Church is saying this itself, so the Catholic Church backs up the words that he used here. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, in the English Standard Version in particular, teaches that Christ is the exact imprint of the nature of God the Father and upholds creation by the word of his power by which he called the universe into existence at creation. It's interesting, who being the brightness of his glory, verse 3, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is the one who spoke the universe into existence, and Jesus Christ is sustaining the existence because he spoke that word. It shows the power of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we're going to see that word, the power of that word, when we come back with him to the earth, and he speaks the word at the Battle of Armageddon, and all of a sudden there's 200 million slain people. So there's tremendous power in the Lord Jesus. But anyway, Jesus Christ has that power, not Mary. Catholicism teaches that the triune God had gave Mary a name above every other name, that at her name every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow. That's citing Liguori again, page 260. But Hebrews 1:4 shows Jesus has a more excellent name than the angels, and God the Father called Jesus God in Hebrews 1:8. Mary is not God, so she cannot be sovereign over God and over Christ in heaven. Catholicism calls Mary Queen of Heaven and Queen of the Angels, but Hebrews 1:5-14 reveals that Jesus Christ is the one who is superior to heaven's angels, not Mary. In addition, the Catholic Church intends to bring back all Christian denominations, that includes Nepal Church, into its fold, not to change its beliefs. For even at Vatican II, where there was a strong thrust by the Catholic Church for ecumenism, at Lumen Gentium 14 in Vatican II, it asserted, and I quote, "Whosoever, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter or remain in it, could not be saved." So even Vatican II says, if you're not in the Catholic Church, if you're not going by means of the Catholic Church, you're not saved. You don't have that salvation. So, therefore, the call of Hebrews chapter 2, 1-4, strongly is applicable to us believers in Christ today. In view of the unbiblical exaltation of Mary, even to the demeaning of the position of Jesus Christ as God, and in view of the Catholic Church's drive to bring all professing Christians back to its fold without changing its view of that salvation is solely through the Catholic Church, we would do well to pay more careful attention to the biblical truths we have received from Christ's apostles, that we might not drift away. The word parariomen is the word drift away. It occurs only here in the entire New Testament. If the words spoken by the angels in the giving of the Mosaic Law at Sinai, and we know this from Psalm 68:17 and Acts 7, verse 53, that says angels were involved in it, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, we Christian believers will not escape accountability to the Lord if we neglect the true salvation truth that was given to us by the Lord Jesus and was confirmed by his disciples through validating miracles in the early church. That's Hebrews 2:2-4. The reason this is so applicable, we've been at a number of funerals, a number of us in the Catholic Church, and where people have been there, and recently we were at one where there was an actual believer who had been married to a person who is a member of the Catholic Church. And so it's very important, since approximately, I don't know how much, but approximately half of our church is former Roman Catholic, it's very important to watch, especially with the efforts that are occurring by the Catholic Church to pull everybody back into its fold, that we stand up to it and declare the word of God. So the lesson is God holds us highly accountable to hold to the truths handed down to us from Jesus and his apostles. So we must give care to withstand great Catholic error and its promotion of its error, lest we slip from the truth. May we sense our great accountability to God to be vigilant in withstanding grave Catholic error that is being promoted unto us in our era. I was never a Roman Catholic, and so I don't have the burden. It doesn't give me a guilt complex whatsoever that I have a stand against the Catholic Church. But it's interesting, I was in a Catholic church not long ago in a funeral service, and I was sitting next to a believer who had come from a Catholic church. And this believer muttered to me, he said, you know, I don't even feel that this is my church. And this is a person who grew up in a Catholic church. I don't even feel that this is home anymore. And I thought, wow, that's quite a step. I've been at NEPOG for a number of years, but it's quite a step. Because a lot of times, it becomes part of the culture. I remember we had a lady used to be in our church. She is now, I think she's with the Lord. But we were going to a church in Winstead, out in Norfolk. And she said, I had to fight the urge to use the kneeling bench. She says, because I used to attend that church, and at a certain part in the Mass, you just pull out the kneeling bench and get down on the kneeling bench. So she said, I had to catch myself because it was so routine. So I see it's an important issue. Now, I think probably everybody here, almost everybody here, doesn't have a background in the Catholic Church. But we've got a lot of people who have had that. So it's important for us to hold the ground for them, for their sake.